Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and the 53rd chapter. We're going to look at a famous verse. Obviously, Isaiah 53 is an incredible chapter about the Messiah. We're just going to read verse 6, if you would stand for the reading of the word, and we're going to, if I could say this word, riff on this idea, use it to preach the gospel, because the gospel is right there, and then talk about people that know the Lord Jesus as Christ as Lord, and other people that don't yet, but it's something we all need. And we'll call today's message, God's Grace for the Broken. God's Grace for the Broken. Isaiah 53, verse 6. You can hear God's whole counsel here, if you turn and believe this. Isaiah 53, 6, God's Grace for the Broken. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Father, fill me with your Spirit now, that I might know, even in this moment as I preach, that love, joy, and peace, and that renewing power. We all live broken lives, but you fill broken vessels. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Everybody knows things just aren't right in the world, right? I mean, you just look at the news, you just look in your family, you just look anywhere, you look in the mirror, and you know, things just aren't right in the world. The world is, in a word, broken. It has broken lives, broken relationships, broken governments, and broken systems. Everyone can identify with brokenness. Can I get an amen? Amen? Yeah, we know it. And each of us as individuals experiences brokenness because of our mistakes, our choices, the things that happened to us, or how others have hurt us. Everyone knows what it's like to feel broken. Everybody knows what it's like to feel broken. Now, we might not be experiencing personal brokenness at a certain time, but even then, we experience a measure of the brokenness of those that are around us. No one escapes brokenness. It's a fact in this broken world. Now, you do see some great beauty in this world. You can look around and see lots of beautiful things that look like they're whole, but they're in the midst of all this brokenness. But you imagine how it could be, or how it should be, how you want it to be, and you long for something more. And you realize you can't do anything about the whole big thing, not all at once, so you try to do something on a personal level. You know that you need a remedy. And so what you try to do is fix your own brokenness. But while doing certain things may keep the brokenness at bay for a season, eventually it only leads to more brokenness. The whole narrative of life is about brokenness. We read it in this verse, all like sheep have turned aside to their own way. And so we talk about finding beauty in the midst of this brokenness, and helping others in community to deal with our brokenness. Even if you're not a Christian, people gather in communities of like identification to say, okay, we are this group, we are this group, and we're trying to heal our brokenness. Basically, everything boils down to this. Everyone wants to do something about brokenness. When you're a new father, you know, you treat that child like it's glass the first time you hold the baby. And then when it's crying, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. And you're a guy, you know, hunt, kill, crush, destroy, do something. I can't do anything. The baby stops crying. Ah! And it breaks your heart to see brokenness. And as a pastor, it breaks my heart to see brokenness. And you want to just say, take two Bible and call me in the morning. And sometimes it's just not that simple. There's brokenness. But everybody wants to do something about brokenness. There's not a person in here that will ever be in here or anywhere on the earth that doesn't want to do something about brokenness. Even if it is avoiding it altogether and staying away from everybody so you don't sense the brokenness, you still will feel broken. This is why people are so excited about superheroes. Because we yearn for a way to be greater than we are. We imagine a way to overcome the brokenness and to help others overcome. But you'll notice even these superheroes, even in the stories that you see, these great superhero stories, very fictional stories, with all the fantastic powers, they still have to deal with human problems. Even those that aren't even human have to deal with emotional, relational, power, injustice, and wisdom issues. Even in a world with superheroes, the brokenness of this world still exists. Even when the superheroes can use their might to make things right, they still have to deal with their own broken hearts, right? Iron Man, still an alcoholic. Thor still has to deal with his wicked brother, et cetera, et cetera. Hulk has to deal with his rage. You have all these incredible things. There's injustice. There's all these things. Even if we had superpowers, but that's why we long for it, because we long to overcome. But you still have a broken heart. There is no escape. Or is there? Maybe if you're like me, you might imagine that if you had enough money, or if you could just be famous, or do whatever you desire, then you'd be okay. Then you wouldn't feel so broken. But notice how the best songs from the most famous singers are the ones that tap into their own brokenness. That's why Johnny Cash was so good. Right? You even think, sometimes it's not about brokenness, but it's how they overcome brokenness. Katy Perry, you know, she sings, I've got the eye of the tiger, a fighter, dancing through the fire, because I am a champion, and you're going to hear me roar. And we were watching Cars 3, I think, with my grandchildren, and my 10-year-old granddaughter, there's a commercial for her tour or something like that, and I hear her singing along with it, and she's pretty sheltered. She has a great mother, and she's a good girl. But everybody identifies with that, right? They know that. They imagine it. We all imagine that. We wish that if we had the money, if we had the fame, if we could just have this, we could overcome. But here's the thing. The famous and wealthy and powerful can sort of fight the brokenness, but they can't really fix it. The relief is only temporary, and the problem never goes away. Just listen to them. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're talking about. They're still broken. You want to go biblical? Listen to Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Now, think about this. Solomon had it all. He had money, he had power, he had influence, he had sex, he could do anything he wanted, and he did. He tried it all. He even went the other way with it, and he tried denying himself and serving others. But then he wrote this book called The Preacher, Ecclesiastes, to tell you how nothing he ever did was enough. In the end, without God, it was all an exercise in emptiness, grasping at the wind, he said. Well, you think, well, if I just found the right person, they can make me feel whole. And a certain person can certainly make things better. Amen. Amen. It's good. Amen. You're meant for connection. Amen. Yeah. But it won't fully fix your brokenness. And it actually introduces more. Why is that? The greater your connection, the more it hurts when brokenness happens. You've been married almost 50 years and all these wonderful things happen. Then your granddaughter has to go through another surgery. And God's helping it and you have that work, but there's still brokenness there. You do everything right. And God's still the potter and we're still the clay. And there's still an enemy out there. And we kind of chip away at our own selves. And there's just this brokenness. And the more connections you have, the greater the opportunity for brokenness to manifest. Here we are in this community, and I'm, in a sense, following Jesus and trying to lead this community. And, you know, I had my heart attack and my stroke and this, but sometimes things are going good, and right now I'm happy in our associate pastor's back, and I'm all excited and things, you know, woo, woo, woo. And yet I'm still going to have to hear from somebody, and I understand that. You get a little bit here, you get a little bit here, you get a little bit here, you get and blah, 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 you feel broken. All this broken is on top of your own broken, and you feel broken. See, it will manifest. No matter how long and how strong your connections are, they will still be broken at points. So you might think that if you could just do what you want, if people just let you be, that's the one. If people just let you be, then you'd be whole and not broken. If you stop telling me that's a sin, then I'll be okay. And you know, it might work a little bit. You might not feel broken, but watch. Eventually, troubles will come and tragedies will strike, and you'll feel limited. You're never going to feel whole unless you could do it all, and you won't be able to do that. You realize that even after getting it all under control, because that's our problem, we get everything just the way we want it. Like Solomon, he had all the money, he had 1,000 women, he had all the wisdom. Everybody thought he was the greatest thing, and he was. He was kicking booty like crazy. And yet, he still felt broken because he was. You could have everything just the way you want it. Say, if you could move all the pieces on the chessboard, you would still be in a broken game. You'd be broken. You'd feel broken because you are. Now, there's a reason that this text gives us why things are so broken. and no one can really fix them. And it has to do with God's design. God has a design for every single area of your life, your family, your money, your sex, your work, etc. But something inside you wants to go your own way. All like sheep have turned astray. Everyone gone aside to his own way. Something inside of us just wants to do it our own way. You can't tell me what to do, or I will do this. No, I know, I can't, but I can do a little bit. I need this, whatever it is. We go our own way. We break God's design. And the Bible has a word for departing from God's design and pursuing your own way. That word is sin. Sin. You've done it. I've done it. The whole world's done it. And that's why everything is broken. The result of departing from God's design and pursuing your own way is brokenness. Adam broke the world, and we keep breaking it up a little bit more and more. See, everyone knows what brokenness feels like. You know it's the truth. Maybe you feel insignificant, insufficient, insecure. Maybe you're addicted. I've been there. Maybe you've made yourself physically or emotionally sick or both trying to meet some standard. And you think if you do this, then you'll feel whole. Maybe you feel depressed. Maybe you hurt over a bad relationship, a bad job, or a bad experience. Maybe you're hurt in your body or in your mind, or maybe you just hurt. You feel empty, alone, like a failure, unlovable. No matter how much love people show you, you still feel like you're unlovable. No one really understands. You can't really reveal yourself. You feel unlovable. Maybe you hurt for someone else. Everyone knows what brokenness feels like. Amen? It's true. Anybody that's walking around like they've got it all together, believe me, they're just putting Band-Aids on it. They don't have it all together. Even Christians, and I'm going to talk to you about that. But everyone feels brokenness, and everyone tries to fix it, do they not? Yes, you do. I know you do. I mean, when we have a TV and it's broke, you know, if you're like me, redneck, you put the TV on top of the TV and, you know. But everyone else tries to fix it, right? You feel this. You've departed from God's design. You've done this sin. You feel broken. And so you know something's wrong. Something needs to change. So you attempt to fix the brokenness your own way. Some people think they can overcome their problems, like we talked about, with fame and fortune. They chase after popularity, maybe, in school, or they want a big social media platform. You'd be surprised. I go on YouTube and all that, and I see these, you know, people with 500,000, 800,000, a million followers, and you see the comments and how they're still broken. They're broken. Some people pursue financial success or power or influence. Some try and satisfy their emptiness by pouring themselves into family and friends. I'm not saying all these things are bad. Some might involve themselves in communities of broken people and identify with others who feel the same sort of brokenness. Some might even manifest themselves by marking their bodies as a sign of their brokenness. I'm not saying all that's bad necessarily. Maybe you'll alter their appearance. You know, we change our hair color again. I'm not mad. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, we do that because we're searching for something. Some try to hide their heart by having fun through various vacations, parties, events, hobbies, or sex, just more and more and more of that. If I can just, you know, I work hard and I party hard. Some try to alleviate the pain by escaping through addictions or numbing themselves through medicating behaviors. And it can be destructive behaviors or what seems like a positive behavior, but they're still avoiding their own heart and their own brokenness. I don't know how else to fix it. I'll just keep myself busy. Again, some think credentials will prove that they're not broken. They'll try to fill the void through academics or business or professional or societal or church. They think, once I get this PhD, once I get write this book, once the church is this size, once this person says hello, whatever it may be. Again, many people try to ignore the brokenness through constant activity. They convince themselves that they're not broken, they're just building. I've seen so much of this. You just won't come on Sunday because you got this soccer and you got this and you got this that and you got this that and then it's the next thing. We'll stop doing that. No, it's the next thing. It's the next thing. It's the next thing. That's what Solomon was doing. Not just that all those things that were bad, but he went from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing and nothing seemed to satisfy. It's all busyness in religion, social causes, volunteering, whatever. It's just go, go, go. No time to be broken. So people try to fix their brokenness many different ways. Many different ways. And sometimes some of these things can be good, but they can't put you back together. And you'll always wind up back at brokenness. Like Solomon, you can keep busy and try everything. And some things might seem to work for a while. And so you think, okay, that works a little bit, then I'll go to this, then I'll go to this, and just get enough Band-Aids going. You can put a Band-Aid on brokenness, but no matter how well anyone has it all together, it's just patchwork. They'll still have troubles and trials and problems they can't fix. Everyone's broken, and everyone experiences brokenness, if I made my point clear. But when you don't deal with brokenness God's way, it's just a broken path. And it only leads to more brokenness. See, you break God's design. That's called sin. It leads to brokenness. And we try to fix it by using broken paths. Even things that can be good, we think, that's what I'll do to fill up the void. And it doesn't work. So you go on to the next thing. Oh, I'll have a little bit of sports, a little bit of fun, a little bit of this. Oh, I need an affair. I need a little bit of this. Whatever. I'll cheat on my taxes. Whatever it may be. Let me tell you something. Brokenness is not always a bad thing. Having to feel that. Trying all these things and coming to the end of yourself like Solomon. You better pray you don't have too much money. That's what happened to me. I had so much money, I just keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. And you finally run to the end of that. It's not always a bad thing. God uses brokenness to get your attention. Remember last week? It's time to pay attention. Should I pass out some more attention dollars? Your way hasn't worked. No matter how well your plans go, you still feel broken. You still have to deal with brokenness. What is the solution? To see real and lasting change, you have to do it God's way. And there's a word for that. That word is repent. Repent. Just like sin is breaking God's design, repent's the opposite. Repent means to change. To sin is to depart from God's way and pursue your own way. To repent is return, is to turn from your way and embrace God's way. Can I say that again? To sin is to break God's design and pursue your own way. To repent is to turn from your own way and embrace God's way. You're just turning around. You're not doing it perfectly, but you're doing it purposely. You say, my way hasn't worked. I want to do things God's way. That's a big statement. What does that mean? Everything perfect? No. There's something you got to do first. That's the gospel. The gospel is God's way. And it's not just for sinners. It's also for those that have been saved. God saves sinners. God rescues. It's redemption. It's the solution to brokenness. It's about the good news of Jesus. It starts in your own heart when God convicts you of your sin and you turn and realize, I have been a sheep. I have gone my own way. But God has put on him the iniquity of us all. He's paid for that big issue in my life, the big brokenness. You see, Jesus came into this world, into this broken world, but he never departed from God's design. And he died on a cross so he could forgive your sins. And he rose from the dead, proving that he could forgive your sins, those times that you broke that. So now you're wanting to get back to God's design. You have to first do that by saying, not my way, but God's way. I accept his sacrifice on my behalf. He did the big picture. Again, the ultimate change you need, he provided. This isn't the end of it. Hold on. Because some of you have already done that. Some of you already know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you still feel broken. What do we do? You can hang on and listen. Jesus is still in the rescuing business. The ultimate change you need, he provided. And now Jesus is going to change everything. You realize that you need to have a cosmic view of redemption, of regeneration. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. There's going to be a perfect world with perfect people, and everything will be perfect. And he has started to create that now when he came up out of the grave. And now we have a down payment of it in our souls, and we're born again, and all things are going to be made new. One day there will be a new world with no brokenness, and it'll all be yours if you believe he is the solution. So we talked about this breaking God's design, which is sin. We talked about the broken paths we follow. Then we talked about repenting and coming and believing the gospel. To believe in Jesus means that you have faith that Jesus came to rescue you from your brokenness. And you trust him to forgive your sins. Then not only do you receive the promise of eternal wholeness, something starts to happen now. You begin to grow. When you turn from your sins, that's called repent, and you place your trust in Jesus, that's called believe. You're put in right relationship with God. Now, no matter how badly you've been broken, Jesus blesses you. And God gives you a new power to purposefully, not perfectly, but purposefully pursue God's design. You see it? You start over here. You've done the sin. Now you're feeling broken. You try to do it your own way. It doesn't work. You repent, turn to God's way. That's the gospel. He came into this world. He paid for your sins. Now you can start pursuing God's design. Make sense? When you begin to follow God's design, God begins to make you whole. It's a taste of your future. But there's a problem. You still have to live in the present. And if you're already a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. Even when you have embraced God's solution, you still have to deal with brokenness. You're still going to mess up things at times. You're still going to feel very broken at times, and people will definitely still hurt you at times. Even when you're already a Christian, God uses brokenness to keep you clinging to Him. And you can be doing God's will and still feel broken at times. You can be doing right in the smack dab center, doing exactly what He wants you to do, and still feel broken. In a way, you could call it uncomfortable grace. Even then, in those times, in any time, the gospel remains the remedy. You see, the gospel gives you more than just hope for the life to come and full wholeness then. The gospel is not just about the next life. It's about this life too. It's hope in the hurt, light in the darkness, healing in the brokenness. There's a great example of this in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. And we won't turn there, but let me summarize this. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 30, the Apostle Paul lists all the hardships he was going through. He talked about constant dangers and imprisonments and beatings. He said he was dealing with hunger, sleeplessness, pressure, and anxiety. Here's the man that said, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, give thanks. But he still felt it. He felt that brokenness. There's no doubt we could have called this sermon Living the Broken Life. Paul was living a broken life. And it gets worse, because in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 10, you find out that on top of all that brokenness, he had to deal with his own personal messenger, a thorn in the flesh, a demon, sent to harass him. And what's more, God wouldn't remove him. So here he is dealing with all this pressure, all this anxiety, all these churches, all these troubles. He feels broken. He thinks, I can't do this. What am I going to do? The sufficiency has got to be from God. And God says, well, I'm going to give you all these revelations to show you that, but guess what? I don't want you to be conceited, so here's your own little personal demon. Thorn in the flesh, whatever you want. He said it's a messenger of Satan. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The fact is, he wouldn't take it away. Brokenness on top of brokenness. It's like you're broken. He gives you a puzzle piece that don't fit. Deal with that too. Brokenness inside of brokenness. Instead, Jesus told him that his strength is made perfect in weakness. So he said, here I am feeling weak, and God's going to allow me to feel more weak. But Jesus said his strength is made perfect in weakness. So incredibly, here's what Paul said in response. He prayed three times for it to go away, and it wouldn't go away. And he said this, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What? You don't hear that at the Prosperity Kiwanis Club or whatever that some people call a church. I'm not mad at the Kiwanis. I'm saying, you know, this isn't the message you normally hear, but it's the message of the gospel. Here's the question, though. I start asking myself, okay, you know, I've accepted this. I know I'm following God's way as best I can. I know I'm still broken, all that. And what am I going to do? How did Paul know such strength in the midst of such never-ending brokenness? He wasn't going to take it away. He was always going to have to worry about the churches. Until he died, he dealt with brokenness. And yet he still talked about having this strength, and I would boast in my infirmities. I'll boast in the cross of Christ. The world is crucified to me, and I to the world. How could you do that? Because I'm the Apostle Paul. No. He told us what to do. Here's how. Let's look at what happened to him. In Ephesians 3:19, you read this, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. 1 Peter 1:8, Peter went through it. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. Remember we used to sing it, joy unspeakable and full of glory, right? Philippians 4:7, we talked about it a minute ago. Now, you got to listen. You think, oh, this isn't real to me. You're going to see. This was real to Paul. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we read our passage this morning from 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. And remember, we read that. He was getting all these beatings and all this crushed, pushed down, all this stuff, jars of clay. He goes, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This is the Bible describing for Christians how you can have a love that is greater than knowledge, a joy that is greater than words, a peace that is beyond what you can comprehend, and a renewing power that is greater than this physical world. That's what Paul and Peter experienced, and that is what God wants for you. But there's something going on here. You see, these verses might not seem to be real for you, but listen, the context for all these verses is brokenness. The passage is surrounding all those, and you can check it out yourself. These texts speak about loved ones being in jail, being persecuted, going through heavy trials, your mental state wearing down, and your physical body wearing out. Now, have I got everybody? That's a lot of brokenness, but God's grace can be there in an unmistakable way. Here's the truth. You don't have to have it all together because God fills broken vessels. It's not about putting yourself all together your own way. It's about, okay, here I am broken. Fill me up, Lord. With something that this money and this fame and this success and this fun and all these things cannot do for me, but you can. I can know a love that is greater than knowledge. I can know a peace that's greater than I can even figure out no matter what's going on. I know that I can have a joy that I can't even express with words, and that even though everything else is beating me down, you are building me up. God fills broken vessels. That's the point Paul is making in 2 Corinthians 4:7, jars of clay broken open so that the power manifests is obviously from God. Look how great he's doing. He's got it all together. He's got this beautiful wife. He's got this car. He's got this house. He's doing all this, and they're still broken on the inside. And I may be broken, and I ain't got to try to prove nothing to nobody. I feel the power of God. Jars of clay reveal the power of God. Psalm 51:17, David says, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, Lord, you will not despise. Contrite, you say, I'm tired, even though I'm a Christian, I'm not going to do it my own way. I'm going to do it God's way and let him fill me up with this supernatural love, joy, and peace. Yes, one day everything's going to be made right. But the gospel isn't just, things are bad, but then, it is that, amen. But it's not just that. It's things are bad, and now. And now. Yes, you're still going to experience brokenness in this world and in your life, but you have turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus, and now. Someone say, and now. Even in your brokenness, you can begin to taste the grace of God that is beyond measure. That's what those verses are talking about. Things are beyond measure. Are you a broken Christian? Good. Then you can pray, and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now, when brokenness is before you, you can experience a love that is greater than knowledge. And now, when grief, like fire, tests you, you can have a joy that's greater than words can express. And now, when anxiety attacks you, when life breaks you, and you just don't understand, you can know a peace that is beyond comprehending. And now, when trouble's all around you, even when your body is broken down, you can be renewed with eternal power. And now, we've got something worth shouting about. Now we've got something worth singing about. Now we've got something that brokenness can't break. We've got an answer for this broken world. We've got an answer for the brokenness of life. It's Jesus who's given us eternal life. And now, even in the brokenness of this life, he's given us abundant life. That's how Paul could do it. That's how Peter could do it. They weren't supermen. They served a supernatural God. And now, when the brokenness of this world and this life has got you feeling beat down, torn up, hemmed in, stressed out, trouble all around, you can turn to Jesus, cry out to him, and he'll fill you with a supernatural power of love, joy, and peace. You can be blessed beyond brokenness. You can be filled with the Spirit. That's God's answer for a broken life. And now, will you stop trying to fix your life with things that can't fix your brokenness? We'd stop putting Band-Aids on it and get real healed. And now, will you turn to Jesus, God's solution to your brokenness? And now, if you are a believer, but you've turned your own way, will you turn back? Will you confess that you've been trying to fix that brokenness in your own way instead of following God's way, which is not to fix the brokenness, but to pray for His love, joy, and peace in the midst of that brokenness? Then you can be like the Apostle Paul, and all these things are going on, and you can still, those verses are real. Have they ever been real to you? A love that's beyond knowledge. A peace that is greater than understanding. A joy that's too great for words, and this renewing power that when your physical body and your mental state is down, He's still driving you up. And now, if you know that you're a broken vessel, you won't be able to avoid it. You can't avoid it your whole life. You're going to wish you did something today. If you know you're a broken vessel, and you know you need God's Spirit to move in your life, if you need an infusion of that supernatural power of love, joy, and peace, won't you come and pray with me?